الحمد لله نحمده ونشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise God for all that He has given us from His mercy, for the law of mercy that He has ordained upon Himself, and therefore telling us that we should be, as the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a mercy to humanity. We thank Him, we praise Him, we ask for His guidance, we ask for His forgiveness, and that when we fall off the path of God, we ask that He accept us in the return and repentance to His path. And we ask and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to shower His blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We bear witness that there's no God but the one God, and that Muhammad is the messenger and servant of God. In Ramadan, we celebrate two very important parts of our faith. The first part is we celebrate the Quran, because the Quran is the miracle of Islam. There is nothing like it. Other prophets were given physical miracles. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the miracle of the Quran. Nobody saw a physical miracle at that time. And so we see in the Quran so many things that are beyond a human being's ability. It explains the marine life, the barrier between the fresh water and the salt water. It explains astronomy. It explains the constellation of the stars and the orbits. It explains everything with perfect grammar. It explains the embryonic stages of the fetus. It explains with perfect literary style that is beyond any human being's ability, even challenging the poets to produce a surah like the Quran, which they could not and they cannot to this day. So it is our miracle. And what they said about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he borrowed all this from others. There's no way that he could have borrowed the religious parts and the science parts and the astronomy parts and the physiology parts. There is no human being that could have done that. So this indeed is from our Maker, our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way they were treating our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a lot of what's happening today. They're telling us, you're not capable, you're not smart enough, you're just borrowing from others, you're mimicking, you're copying. The fact is, our Prophet ﷺ was an ordinary man who was able to do extraordinary things because of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the Quran. And we are the same. If we connect to the Quran, we can do extraordinary things. And in our exercise of this month, we are getting into the Quran each and every day, each and every night. It should make us into better human beings and better Muslims, inshallah. The second great gift from God that we are celebrating this month is the gift of the human mind. When God told the angels, I'm making this creation, the human being, and he is going to be superior to you, they asked, how can you do that? And Iblis defied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, no way, I am made out of fire, he's made out of clay, I am better. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed how the human being has the gift of the human mind and can learn beyond any other creation in all of the creation that we see. And so in celebrating the human mind, we are exercising each and every minute while we are fasting to delay self-gratification. That is the power of the fast. We are not like everyone else that acts upon impulse, that needs immediate self-gratification. We are able to control our desires and seek what Allah is telling us is the most important thing when it comes to freedom. We are free when we are masters over our desires. We are not free when we are slaves to our desires. That is the gift of the human mind, in our ability to control our behavior and to delay self-gratification. So when we talk about the human mind, there is something very important in the Quran that tells us about this aspect of the human being. And it's in Surah number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verses number 190 and 191. إِنَّ فِي أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. In these two very powerful verses that are given to us, it is telling us that we have the power of critical thinking. And this verse is saying that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of the night and day are signs for those of understanding, for those who want to seek insight, those who want to be perceptive. In other words, not those who are just superficial, not just those who are acting on whatever is on the cover, but looking into what is in the book, what is inside all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has provided us in this life. So we get the deeper meaning of what is happening around us, and we're able to use the faculty of reason to do what is best for the ummah and prevent any harm that is in front of us as well. And it continues to say, who are those with insight? It's not just the philosophers. It's not just the scholars. It's not to a certain class of people. It's for you and me. It's for all of us. It's for people. The Quran is the property of the people and should never be relegated to any special class of any group. It is our property. It is our domain. It is our jurisdiction. And then it tells us, who are those endowed with insight then? It says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. It is those who remember God, whether they're standing or sitting or on their side. And it continues to say, and they are continuously reflecting in the creation of the heavens and the earth. And they pray, O our Lord, You have not created all of this without a purpose. And if it ends by saying, glory be to You, please protect us from the suffering of the fire. What are the important messages then that we can unpack from these two powerful verses? Number one, it is stating clearly, remembrance of God and critical thinking are one in the same. There is no such thing as we remember God there and then we use our minds somewhere else. They are inseparable. They are in tandem. And it is telling the Muslim that to remember God means that you have to use your faculty of reason. Number two, the word yatafakkarun is very important because it could have been yufakkiru. In other words, they produce a thought. But yatafakkarun means the continuous collective practice of critical thinking. It is not just doing it one time and here's an idea and that's it. But anytime there's a situation out there, we think about what is important in terms of our dealing. And there is a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi 1327, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling his companion, his disciple Mu'adh, who is going to go govern Yemen, He asked Mu'adh, how will you judge? Mu'adh says, I will judge according to the book of Allah. Then he asked again, what if it is not in the book of Allah? Mu'adh said, then with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked him one more time, what if it is not in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah? Mu'adh said, then I will strive to use my reason and form an opinion. The Prophet said, Alhamdulillah, who has made suitable the messenger of the Messenger of Allah. We are the messengers of the Messenger of Allah in delivering his message to our society today, and therefore we have to use our critical thinking in dealing with the issues that are before us that we may not find in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Quran itself describes itself. It says, this is a book for whom? لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, for those who use their logic. They use their brains. This is not for the blind followers. This is not for the cult. This is not for people who don't want to use their reason and want a cookie cutter approach. They want a one size fits all on everything. Give me the answer and I'll just apply it. That's not what our religion is about. It is, as the Quran says, الَّذِينَ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They are together in a continuous, reflective, critical thinking process of the creation of the heavens and the earth. Then the verse goes on to say that this is not done without a purpose. Who is the good Muslim? The good Muslim is the good human being who has a purpose-driven life. There are those who work and they get the cars and they get the house and they get the debts and then they get more and more toys. They're like a cat chasing her tail. They don't really ever get true satisfaction from all this illusion of this life. But the one who sees a purpose to life and says, I have my human incapabilities. I have my human frailties. I have my human weaknesses. But I will surrender to God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and support the will of Allah. And therefore, I transform myself from just being a consumer of everything around me to being a producer and a transformer of something that is better for myself, my family, my community, and my society. And so this is an open invitation to explore, to think clearly, and to think widely as possible on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us. Finally, the verses end by, we need God's protection. We need it to save us from the suffering in this life and in the next life. And as the Quran says, for those who are oblivious to God, they will be sent to oblivion in the hereafter. But those who are close to God and ask for God's protection, they will gain God's protection in this life and in the hereafter, and find that inner peace and sense of who they really are as we are going through this every day during our fast. The challenges to this, brothers and sisters, as what we said earlier, this idea that I'm going to have somebody else do the thinking for me. You know what? This is too complicated. I can't think for myself. So let me just find someone who is an expert and let them give me the answer and I'll just follow. It's not that simple. Because on the Day of Judgment, who is it going to be? It's going to be you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no intercession in Islam to say, well, this person told me how to do it, so blame that person. What will happen is everybody will blame each other who do that kind of exercise. They will be finger pointing and say, well, I didn't do it, it's his fault. Give him double the punishment. And no, I didn't lead you astray. You did it for yourself. So we have to avoid that situation by taking responsibility now. Taking responsibility for our own decisions now. When I do my taxes, which I think most everybody did last month, I may use an accountant to help me with my taxes, but when the IRS calls, are they going to call the accountant or call me? They come to me. I'm responsible. I'm the one that has to answer, did I pay my taxes? What are the penalties if I did not pay my taxes? The accountant is not going to be blamed for anything. It is my responsibility. When I make a traffic violation or I'm in a court of law and I need a lawyer, the lawyer is the specialist that will help me in dealing with the court of law, but at the end of the day, the decision is rendered on who? The lawyer or me? It is rendered on me. I am responsible. The same thing here. I will use an alim. I will use a sheikh. I will use anybody that has linguistic, legal, and historic specialization. But at the end of the day, the decision is mine and mine alone. I am responsible for that decision. I cannot blame them. Even on the day of judgment, who will disavow human beings that fell into the trap? Satan. Satan will tell them, I didn't lead you to that. You led yourselves to that. You are the only ones to blame because you did not believe in the existence of God Almighty. So everyone will disavow everyone else. We are ultimately responsible for our thinking. It's like a math problem. When a good math teacher doesn't just see what's the answer to the problem by the student, they see the step-by-step process in the thinking of how the student got to the solution. That is what is important. How are we thinking about these situations? Otherwise, there's confusion. There's confusion that develops a cult mentality, which actually leads to a form of extremism. Number two, it leads to bad leadership. Bad leadership is when we have bad followers. Islam's model of following is that when the imam makes a mistake, it is each and every one of our responsibility to correct the imam when he is leading our prayer. And when Omar radiallahu anhu was in the mosque and was making a decision about dowry, he was challenged by a woman in the mosque, who challenged Omar and said, no, the decisions had already been made in the Quran. And Omar, being a great leader that he was, said, the woman is right and Omar is wrong. This is a sign of great leadership, is that when it comes to an issue of opinion or it comes to an issue of fact, that everybody is accountable to the truth and not accountable as to who is up here and who is not around the court of the leader. The true definition of a leader is the one who is serving his people, not the one who aims only to be served by his people. So these are the aspects of critical thinking in Islam. So let us reflect on that and see how we can be better, not only at critical thinking ourselves, but better in terms of critical thinking as in the collective, as the community, inshallah. Udu rabbakum. الحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Another important verse that I think we should all be thinking about is this idea of whenever we hear something, we just jump on it. And the Quran tells us in 2573, the servants are those who, when reminded of the verses of their Lord, do not fall upon them deaf and blind. Do not fall upon verses deaf and blind In other words, seeing how the verses apply to our everyday situation and thinking about it and seeking the deeper meaning of the verse. And then the other verse that is important for us is in Surah 20, verse 114. Know then that God is sublimely exalted, the ultimate sovereign, the ultimate truth, and knowing this, do not approach the Quran in haste before it has been revealed unto you in full, but always say, O my sustainer, grow, cause me to grow in knowledge. That is what we want in this month. We are asking our sustainer, let us grow in our own knowledge and help one another in dealing with the situations that are facing us in these times. When we repent, therefore, it is not just repenting and then everything is okay, because if you just go through that, you just repeat yourself, repeating the error. But repentance means I submit to myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surrender to His will, so we go from vengeance to real justice, from complacency to real work, to only getting what's mine, to giving for Islam, and only going for what's in it for me, to giving to the Ummah. That is the transformation that we seek when we go through this collective, critical thinking process, even when we commit sins ourselves. This week, there was a very important situation that required us to be thinking as a community about a situation. The mayor came out with a statement about Jerusalem. And the issue basically, without getting into details, because we have limited time here today, but the basic point is that he took away, in a statement, the right of Jerusalem for Muslims. And so we met with the mayor. 15 years ago, we would not be able to get into the door to meet with the mayor of Los Angeles. Today, the mayor seeks our consultation. So we met with him. He heard what we had to say. And the first thing he said is, I am sorry, I made a mistake. Jerusalem is for all people. Jerusalem is for Muslims, it's for Christians, it's for Jews. Anyone who violates that has no right over Jerusalem. Anyone who fulfills that godly, that divine obligation of protecting Jerusalem for all faiths is the rightful owners of Jerusalem and protectors of Jerusalem. And the mayor continued to say, I understand the suffering of the people there and what they're dealing with in terms of the settlements that is eating up the lands of the people. So we got an apology, we got a reaffirmation of what Jerusalem should be standing for, and we had a commitment from the mayor that he will stand for the principle of human dignity and human rights. That is something we could not have gotten 15 years ago. Did we solve the problem? No. But we got into the process of becoming part of the solution. And for that, we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, thank you for giving us this time together. Oh Allah, I ask you to create more affection among the hearts of all the believers, men and women, today in this blessed day of Jum'ah, on this blessed day of Ramadan. Oh Allah, we are beginning the last 10 days of Ramadan, yeah, where you have promised us that there will be Laylatul Qadr that will be worth more than 1,000 months. Oh Allah, let us connect with you so we can benefit from Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. Oh Allah, forgive the Muslims, whether they are alive or have passed on. Oh Allah, help all those who are oppressed, whether here, down the street, or abroad, halfway around the world. Oh Allah, let us thank all the staff, the imam, the sheikhs, who have given us a wonderful Ramadan program each and every night. Oh Allah, give us the means so that we can contribute to this Islamic center to continue the programs and increase this great Islamic center so that in what is able to do in representing the message of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, give the strength and pride to our youth to be strong Muslims as they deal with the challenges of tomorrow. Oh Allah, give us the means of critical thinking and the confidence and the willpower to continue beyond the month of Ramadan, so this will be a training ground for us and we work for your cause and only your cause, inshaAllah. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Aqim as-salah. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar.